Amen, amen. Thank you, kids. And turn with me to Proverbs 31. Passage is often used for Mother's Day, but we're going to use it for Father's Day. Page 1032. Proverbs 31, page 1032, if you need help. Lord, I loved what, Joel writing that song. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, Lord, for me, but for you. Lord, where you reign, that's what happens. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Speak to us today. Build up our dads. Thank you for them. Lord, any age is not easy to be a dad, and I think in our age it's even more difficult. So encourage us, Lord. Help us to see your plan, your purpose. Hallelujah. You are a good, good father. Help us to reign, rule, lead, father, like you do us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Big picture is we're looking at the kingdom of God. And his kingdom is where he reigns. And where does he reign? In willing hearts. And he wants to reign in all hearts, and he invites. And he wants to reign in every sphere, and the home is one of the spheres, is one of the places he wants to reign. When we read this passage, this is how God wants to rule in our homes. But let's take a look at the average home. We'll call them Jack and Cindy. Jack and Cindy fell in love. I mean, woo, she was a looker. And oh, he was so kind. And she laughed at my jokes. And he took me out to eat and brought me flowers. And you know, like the old song, you know, we got married in a fever, hotter than a peppered sprout. I won't sing it. I don't think Johnny Cash really sang that either, if you think about it. And, 5, 10 years later, they got jobs, they got cars, they got kids, and they got issues. And Jack comes home, and he's worn out. You know, the average man speaks 10,000 to 12,000 words a day. He's used them. He's done. He's empty. He's out. He wants to be left alone. Cindy, average woman, speaks 20,000 to 24,000 words a day. She's not done. She wants to talk. It's the last thing he wants to do. Leave me alone. He wants to just veg out. Now, in the old days, men used to watch football. Saturday, Sunday, Monday night, and Thursday. Now he's a video warrior. And he vegs out all night, because he needs to fill up. And she's a drain. And as it's time to get to bed, he says something like, hey, you want to? No. And they both sit in bed or lay in bed, lights out, making sure they don't touch each other, not saying a word. And they're sucking their thumb thinking, didn't get married for this. She used to be fun. She used to laugh at my jokes. Now he says, wah, 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 wah. And Satan's going, yeah, that's right. You don't deserve her. You deserve better. And he's seen the movies. I mean, have you seen the movies? Women want sex all the time. Not my wife. When Janet and I were dating, in fact, before we started dating, she took me for a horseback ride. And it was really weird. She told me as we were going out to get the horses to put the bridle behind my back. And it's like, what? Oh, they don't like to be caught. No, 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 no. You don't understand. I've watched the movies. Horses, all you have to do is whistle and they come.
You've watched too many movies.
And then we're cantering along. Do you guys know the difference between cantering and galloping? Cantering is you don't let them gallop. And it's like, why can't we let them gallop? And she said, because if you let them gallop, that you lose control. It's like,
I've seen the movies. You've watched too many movies.
And then, you know, it was really wild. I mean, she told me to swat the horse to get it to go. Well, I've seen movies, and I went, yee-haw! And she, what are you doing? You know, anyway, but I've seen too many movies. And the last one that would really hit me was as we're cantering, after, what, a quarter of a mile, eighth of a mile, Janet puts up her hand and goes, we're stopping. It's like, stopping? I've seen the movies. You can ride a horse all day fast, right? Yeah, haven't you seen that? She's watched too many movies. Men, we've watched too many movies. But anyway, that's what he thinks. Meanwhile, Cindy's over there sucking her thumb, and Satan's saying, that's right. What a jerk. She's seen the movies too, where the guy shows up right at the right time, looks good, smells good, says the right thing, brings the flowers, takes them out to eat, does whatever it takes to win that woman back. Have you seen those movies? You've watched too many movies. And Scripture says we have three enemies, and the three enemies are the flesh, the world, the devil. The flesh, our sinful, self-centered self, where we rebel against God, but we want to be God. Where we don't want to treat God as God, but we want others to treat us as God. I mean, is that messed up? And then we have the world, our society, the movies, our friends. I mean, go ahead, go to work the next day and tell your friends how Cindy treats you, and they'll tell you, yeah, you have needs, man. And yes, Cindy, go ahead and talk to your girlfriends the next day, and they'll tell you, oh, what a jerk. And Satan, meanwhile, is whispering inside your head, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have three enemies, but we have a father. We have a friend. We have a heavenly warrior who knows what he's talking about. We have a God who's given us a plan, and it's his kingdom, and he reigns, and he rules. And wherever he reigns and he rules, love, joy, peace, patience starts coming down, amen? That's what we need. So let's stand up and read how God wants us to live in our homes, where he wants to be king. Proverbs 31, and though this is written about women, that applies to us men, and you'll see it. Proverbs chapter 31. A wife of noble character or a husband, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her, and he lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Just a note, I don't even know the name of the store. P. Graham Dunn, 75% off, down in Canton. They're closing out that one store. She's a merchant ship going afar, looking for good deals. You with me? She's like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family, portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff. That's like a forked thing that would hold the clump of wool, and grasps the spindle with her fingers. That would be just like a stick. So she's taking the wool and turning it into thread and then wrapping it around a spindle. She opens her arms to the poor, extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet, usually made out of wool. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple, expensive for that day. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And let's read the praise, verse 30 or 29. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Woo! Charm is deceptive. I'll keep reading. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward of her that she has earned. Let her works praise her in the city gate. Father, Lord, bring it down. Make our homes into castles with kings and queens and princes and princesses. Lord, this is our birthright. This is how you've made us to be. Help us to put on the mantle. Lord, as men, help us to be virtuous too, vigorous, prudent, wise, teaching, looking over the affairs of our household, not eating the bread of idleness or video games over and over, Lord. Wow. Do a work, we pray. Thank you that you are King, you are Lord, you are Father, you are lover and friend. In Jesus' name, for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our home as it is in heaven too. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you can't do it with me, this is God's word. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I'll read it, obey it, share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And give each other a Father's Day tap or hug or something and take a seat. Proverbs 31 is often used for Mother's Day, but it's for dads too. It's how the book of Proverbs ends. And the very last verse, or last few verses, says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. How does the book of Proverbs begin? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And every attribute that is used of this woman is throughout the whole book of Proverbs, which is for all of us. Is that making sense? All of us are to be prudent. All of us are to be wise. All of us are to work vigorously. I mean, it's wisdom personified, not just as a man, but as a woman and in the home. Now, as I've read some of our study Bibles and some of our commentaries, this is sort of the emphasis. No woman can do this. This is the ideal woman. This is the perfect woman. And I understand why we're saying that in the sermons and the commentaries is, number one, women, we don't want you to beat up on yourselves. Like, oh, man, I can. And men, we don't want you to beat up on them either. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. But that's a misunderstanding, I believe, of this phenomenal chapter. Do you know this chapter is an acrostic? It's a poem that goes, each verse begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you could memorize it. And when did the Jewish family repeat Proverbs 31? When the youngest son saw the star and appear on Friday night. And in Jerusalem, even to this day, when it's Friday and the sun is setting, the boys go through the streets. It's Sabbath day. It's Sabbath day. It's a celebration. And as that star appeared, the husband and the children would quote Proverbs 31. To their wife and mom. A noble wife who can find.
Her worth is far above rubies. Her husband trusts in her. She does him good. Many women have done nobly, but you have surpassed them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It was the weekly model. Now, I know when you look at this, it's like, oh, yeah, this woman's a workaholic. She stays up late, gets up early, and then works through the whole night. We're misunderstanding. When it says her lamp does not go out at night, that doesn't mean she works through the night. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says there were five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. They go to bed and fall asleep. And at midnight when they wake up, the wise virgins have enough oil in their lamp that their lamps are still burning. The foolish virgins' lamp has gone out because they didn't have enough oil. How many of you have night lights? Right? Can you imagine living back then when there's no electricity and your kids are sick and you need a light? I mean, what are you going to do? Rub sticks together? No. You have an oil lamp that's on. Her light doesn't go out. Doesn't mean she works through the night. It means she has safety and protection, and she has forethought to have provided for the whole night. There's a misunderstanding of this passage. Number one, that's the one thing. Number two is, how old is this lady? I mean, Janet didn't say her age, but she's like that age. How do you know that? She has children who can rise up and call her blessed. What does that mean? That means her kids are at least grade school age and probably even young adults themselves. She has a husband who sits with the who at the what? She has a husband who sits with the elders at the city gate. Means he's probably at least 30. Now, remember, they got married at age 12 and 13, okay? But he's probably in his 40s or 50s. She also has enough means that she can buy a field. Now, please understand, in that culture, not in Jewish culture, but in ancient world culture, that's unheard of. She's a landowner. I love, and I encourage you, we'll be doing it again, Financial Peace University. Dave Ramsey, so, so good. And he interviews like real people. Oh, yeah, when we got married, we didn't even have enough money to buy furniture. And now we're giving away, you know, we've paid off our home and we're giving away $1,000 a month. When the Jewish people told this, they understood this was a process. This was a goal. This is something you grow into. You can't do all of this right off up front, right? Is that helping? Now, the best time to start living this way is 20 years ago. The next best time is today, amen? And the worst time to do this is tomorrow. Today. And then we miss something else, and this is a cultural gap. Can you imagine? You have heard this passage every Friday night, week after week after week, year after year after year, and the whole family has heard it. You're on the same page. And then there's another thing going on. You don't have a microwave. You don't have a dishwasher. Yeah, you don't have a trash guy coming by and picking up your trash. You don't have Amazon where you can just, you know, Google something and get something, right? Are you with me? These kids were trained to be farmers and housewives as soon as they could walk and talk. The Amish say that once a kid turns 7, they contribute to the family and no longer drain from the family. When Janet's brother was 8 years old, he's going down the road with a tractor and hay wagons behind him. Now, see, that's like, see, we live in a society, I can get really excited about this, where we don't even teach our kids to take out the trash. Where we don't even teach them to load a dishwasher because it's easier to do it myself and they have so much junk on it. What are we doing? We're killing ourselves.
kids who turn out well have been made to work a half an hour a day. Sorry, kids. 2 hours on the weekend. That's reality. So it's interesting to read older commentaries, and by older I mean commentaries that were written in the 1600s and 1800s. Like, yes, this is what a wife's supposed to do. I read our modern commentaries. Well, no woman can do this. This is lady wisdom. This is it's God's word that they repeated every week, and everybody had it memorized. Hallelujah. All right. Now, the sermon title is Four Keys to a Kingdom Home. And we're only going to get through the first three verses. But in the first three verses, there are four keys. Wouldn't see it. But I love it. Engedi Resources to Verberg. I'm saying it right. She, oh, what just great research. And she said, and I put this in the newsletter a couple weeks ago, Hebrew only has 8,000 words. English has 100,000. But when Hebrew gives us a word, it's like a big suitcase. English is like little suitcases, more precise. Hebrew is more like broad brush strokes, picturesque, earthy. English is sometimes like a fine tip pen. She is a woman of, it says here, noble character. Huh. What does noble character mean? Oh. Well, the King James says a virtuous wife. The New American Standard says a wife of excellence, noble character. The Living Translation says a virtuous, capable wife. But if you were a little Hebrew guy, girl, husband, or wife, this is the word. David's mighty or valiant men. The word is valiant. It's rarely used of women, except in Proverbs 31, and when Boaz says to Ruth, "You're a woman of valor. You have left your homeland. You have committed to your mother-in-law, and you have defended her. You're a woman of valor." Woo! And see, when we think of a virtuous woman, we tend to think of godly. Amen. And it includes that, please. It doesn't exclude. It's a big suitcase. But a woman of valor. Whoa. Now, let's talk about for the second. When you think of valor, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And it's throughout the rest of the passage, a woman of strength. You're middle-aged, and you're still strong. When my mom was in her 80s, Dad got a ton and a half of gravel that he wanted to have spread in the certain part of his driveway so he could park the car there. And it was hot. And my dad, bad back, hands and all that. And my mom, at 84, 85 years old, 5 foot and shrinking, 80 pounds. We were both with the short shovels. We are both together shoveling. Woo-hoo! Shoveling out, oh, and sweat dripping and us laughing. And Dad directing us where to put it. You're a woman of valor, a woman of strength. My granddad, in his 80s, my cousin called him and said, "Granddad, there's this all this snow and this ice, and people's roofs are caving in or cracking, whatever." My granddad, in his 80s, gets on a ladder and gets up on the roof with snow and is shoveling the snow off of his roof in his 80s. When he was in his 90s, my mom would take him to the doctors, and the doctor said, "Okay, Mr. Trivett, could you get up on the examining table, and granddad would turn. Now, he was a little guy. He would turn sideways, and he would push up with his arms and put himself up. And the doctor would go, "You can do that?" He's like, "Men of strength, women of strength, please don't let yourself go to pot." I had an interesting, great conversation with a Muslim when our engine blew, and really got to witness to him, but also really got to hear. And he's a Sunni Muslim, which they are much more peaceful. And he just great talk, but he said, it was so great. I would love to do the accent. "Have you ever seen a fat Muslim man?" I was like, yeah, I see what you're saying. "Do you know why? We pray." "Okay. And this is how we do it." And I thought they prayed 3 times a day. They pray 5 times a day. I guess in the morning, I might be getting this wrong. They pray and they bow to Allah like this. And then they raise up and do this. Try getting down on your knees and sitting back like that. Just try it. And I'm going to have to stop because I'm getting an arch pain right now. And then you reach forward. Just try that. He says, "You cannot do that with a large belly." And we are actually stretching every day and getting limber. Men and women of valor means men and women of strength. Yes, spiritually. Yes, morally. Yes, in character, but also economically, also in wisdom, and also physically. Blessed are you who are strong. Stick with it. Do the exercises. Watch the diet. Get your sleep. She's strong. Now, there's a second key in the word valor, and that is when you think of David's mighty men, you think of them as being strong, but what's the next thing you think of? They were courageous. They were brave. I mean, here's David. David, at best, is 4.5 foot tall. Goliath is 9 foot tall. And David says to Goliath, "You come to me with sword and spear." Yeah, David, and he's twice as big as you and can throw that javelin, and he's been a warrior for twice as long as you've probably been alive. And David says, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord our God." That's courageous. And then you read through his list of mighty men. One guy stands alone and only has a spear, and he kills 800 men. How in the world? One guy is unarmed, and there's a 7-foot-tall Egyptian coming with a spear, and this little guy comes up, snatches the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and kills the Egyptian. That's strong and brave. Another guy jumps down into a pit after it snowed, so his footing is slippery, and he kills a lion by himself. He is courageous. Blessed are you, woman. Blessed are you, man, who fears the Lord, who is strong, and who is courageous. You can talk with Joe Gillen to get the full story on this. And I don't know if this is a sister-in-law or a sister who teaches in Youngstown. Am I remembering this story right? A friend. What grade did she teach? Oh, but she was like a grade school teacher or middle school teacher for a while. And she kept getting nominated as teacher of the year, even though she taught these kids like in 5th, 6th grade. So, you know, seniors that graduate remembered Mrs. So-and-so and so forth. And the story, I guess this was at Barry's funeral. I'm not sure how I heard this. But she kept getting, and so I was asking her story, and she told this one. Now, you know, in middle school, kids can be still kids, and kids can be adults in size. And this maybe big eighth, ninth grader is coming after this little fifth, sixth grader, whatever. And he runs into her room for protection. And so she stands in front of this doorway, and this big eighth grader, whatever, is ready to kill this little kid. And she's blocking the door, I guess hands on the hips. And he says, "You can't touch me." And she says, "You're right, I can't touch you. If I cared about my job. And right now, I don't care about my job." Hallelujah, huh? That's some courage. Woo! That's what we need, men. That's what we need. Women, I'm going to say some things that are not going to be fun. Are you ready? Not like this whole thing's been fun, but anyway, here we go. I was in a Bible study at our church 30 years ago. All men, godly men, righteous men, leaders in our church, every one of them. And I shared, I don't know what it was exactly, but I shared something. And these guys, literally their eyes got big, but they went, I said something happened between me and Janet. And they were like, "We never tell our wives what to do." Now that is lack of courage. And that's 30 years ago. But it's worse than that. Not only did they say, "We never tell our wives what to do," they rebuked me for telling my wife what to do. That wasn't a confession. That was a rebuke. Do you know, and that's 30 years ago, do you know today, and they've done research on this, what is one of the number one indicators that your marriage is going to stay together in our society? The number one indicator is, you've seen it on your refrigerator, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. Our society says, let the woman be in charge. What does God say? Man, you're the covering. You're the head. And you don't use your masculinity to uncover. Are you with me? You watch what you watch. No, you are the head of the home, and you're to be the covering, and you're to be the protection, and you're to be the provider. Amen? And in our society, that takes courage. And for both husband and wife, it takes courage to say, we're not going to live like that. We're going to live like this. It takes courage to say to your teenager, I know everybody else is doing it, but we're not. It takes courage to say, we're not going to live like that. We're not going to go into debt anymore. We're not going to use that credit card like that. We're going to do financial peace. We're going to start saving. We're going to prepare for retirement. We're going to start giving like nobody else because we've been living like nobody else. That takes courage. She's strong. He's strong. She's courageous. He's courageous. And then when you think of the mighty men of valor, they were strong, they were courageous, but there was something else. They were competent. They were good at what they did. I mean, to kill 800 people with a spear, you're not only in shape and courageous, you know how to handle a weapon. This woman was courageous. I mean, I should connect this back to the passage. Was she strong? It says she's strong. She says she clothes herself with strength. She works vigorously and eagerly. She stays up a little bit later and gets up a little bit earlier. That takes strength. It says her arms are strong. It says that. Was she courageous? I think so. I mean, to buy real estate takes some courage, doesn't it? And to plant a vineyard, oh yeah, I guess she just threw out some grape seeds. To plant a vineyard, I mean, Chuck, you're a farmer, and when you began farming, was the land cleared because of your dad or your great-granddad or your great-great-great-great-granddad. No. She is having to clear land. To plant a vineyard means she has to take out the rocks and the trees. That is some work, baby. And then you have to not only plant the little grape seeds, you got to put up, you've seen the vineyards around here, you got to put up the posts and the lines. You got to build a tower to keep the crows away. You got to build a wine press. This is a huge undertaking. It takes courage to tackle that. And is she competent?
Well, I'm just going to trust the Lord and see what happens.
Amen. Trust the Lord and see what happens. And work like crazy. And work well. She selects flax and wool. What does that have the idea of? She really looks it over. She picks what's best. She works with skill. She, when it says she gives portions to her maids, has a double idea. She gives food to them. She's not laying in bed waiting for them to serve her. No, she's serving them, but she gives them both food and their day's work. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, the New Testament says. Be wise, Proverbs. Pay attention to your flocks, and they will take care of you. Be good at what you do. Amen. We had a great time on vacation down in Virginia Beach. One aside thing is that almost every day the red flags were up, meaning rough water. Now, Steph, my oldest, who's 42, we love boogie boarding. And when it says rough waves, we go, yes, bigger waves. I'm sorry, grandkids, but they were too close together. We couldn't ride them. My longest ride was 10 seconds. That is pathetic. And that was only because I caught two waves that were breaking at the same time. It was, and then you were right into the beach. It was terrible. But the grandkids said, it was the best vacation we ever had. We played cornhole. We did all this other stuff. And there's something else we did on our vacation. It was so good. And now kids are getting older, like the youngest. Well, now we have a little eight-month-old, whatever, grandchild. But other than that, the youngest is 8 or 9. It's like, whenever you have a snack, whenever you have a bowl of cereal, whenever you take out a glass, when you're done, put it in the dishwasher. It was wonderful. Because the counter stayed clean. That's competency. That's skill. That's courage. Have you ever noticed how more competent you become when you have company? Oh, it's fine. It doesn't. Oh, we're having company. Live like you're having company because you serve a king. Strong, courage, and competent. That's a wife of noble character, valiant. And then verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Valiant, strong, courageous, competent, and her husband trusts her. She's, and we, men as well as women, she is trustworthy. That's the fourth key. Strong, courageous, competent, and trustworthy. And it says in the Hebrew, your King James and some other verses take it out, her husband's heart has full confidence in her. She has won her husband's heart and has still won it. He trusts her implicitly. Back in this day, just like today, some husbands didn't trust their wives. And you know what they did? They took chests and filled it with silver and gold and buried it somewhere where she wouldn't get to it. Right? I mean, some of you husbands, when your wife goes on a shopping spree, oh, honey, look how much we saved. But you spent $2,000. Yeah, but I saved six. It was on a 75% off sale. Yeah, but you spent six. But I saved. Or two, yeah. So, no, he trusts in her. He trusts in her. He trusts in her. He trusts in her. Can I say this? Maybe this is legalistic. I want every couple to give each other their phones every night. Is that okay to say? I want every couple to say, here's my passcode. Here it is. Let's build some trust. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. What in the world? I want every couple not to have a room that you can close a door to if that's where your computer is. You with me? It needs to be out in the open where everybody can see it. Her husband trusts in her. Here's my bank account. Here's my phone. Here's my heart. And it says how to do it. Her husband has full his heart has full confidence in her because she lacks nothing. He lacks nothing of value. Value is in the eyes of the beholder. Now let me fly with this for a little bit. What do you value is often that your spouse doesn't value, and what they value is often what you don't. It's how God made us. Oh, she wants to talk when I get home. What does she value? Oh, as soon as he comes home, he wants space. What does he value? Work at that. My wife values talking. My husband values space. How about I give you a half an hour to veg? How about after the half an hour, we'll talk. You both are valuing each other. I value a clean house. Why doesn't he pick up his socks? Yeah. It's just socks. Value what she values, and you will earn her trust. Because she knows you don't want to pick up his socks, your socks. I was going down the road, and the car made it started making that funny noise. I don't know what that noise is, and my husband's a gearhead. I don't care. I just kept driving. You what? Value what he values. Pull over, get on the phone. It's going tick, 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 pff, tick, tick, tick. What does that mean? It means you should pull over. Let me come and check. Is that good? Value what they value. It says it more. Again, remember Hebrew, big suitcases. Verse 12, she brings him good, not harm. King James says, brings him good, not evil, all the days of her life. When we think of good and evil, we think of right and wrong, sin and righteousness, and that's absolutely part of the suitcase. But it's a bigger suitcase. The word good means she brings him beauty, bountiful, blessing, peace, shalom, goodness. Evil means she brings him misery, calamity, disaster. Is your home full of goodness? Are you fighting like cats and dogs and full of harm and bickering? Four keys. One, valiant, meaning be strong, be courageous, be competent, and then be trustworthy by valuing what the other person values. I want to close with this, but what about if he's a jerk? What about she's just a nag? One of you, years ago, had God underline Proverbs 31, verse 11 to you. Her husband has full confidence in her,
and lacks nothing of value. My 30 plus years of pastoring, this woman was married to one of the toughest men I have ever met in my life. He was mean. He was cold. He was harsh. And God said, let him trust you. Do him good. And even though he never came to church, even though he was an agnostic and didn't want to talk about it, and even though she was had so much ministry, did so much good, she made a commitment to the Lord, I will value what he values, and she made sure no matter what was going on at church that he had a meal cooked for him every night on the table at 6 o'clock. I thought for sure I was going to get to win that husband to the Lord. I thought for sure when he was on his deathbed, he would listen, and he did not. But after did his funeral, and this woman got to church later, I forget what happened, and they slept in separate rooms, if I'm getting my story right. His clock radio came on when she was normally in church, and it was a church service. And he was listening to church when she was at church. Because he knew he could trust her. And what I pray, he learned he could trust Jesus. Amen. Oh, let's pray. Father, thank you for these keys. Lord, I just pray for our men, pray for our women, and then us as a church, as society. Valor, strength, courage, competency, and trustworthy. Lord, we need you to do this. And it now makes sense why the passage ends with a woman who fears the Lord. Lord, it's only when we go to you that we get strength upon strength upon strength. And our strength is renewed. It's only as we go to you that we have courage to say what's right and to do what's right, even though everybody might be against us. It's only through you that we really can be competent and you give us skill and wisdom. Hallelujah. And Lord, it's only through you as we trust you and we follow you that we become trustworthy and begin valuing what others value. Thank you, Lord. Blessings on every dad here, every mom here, every marriage here. And then, Lord, wow, how neat it would be if we would do this, like read this chapter every week like the Jews did, so it became our model and our teens and our kids would know, yeah, this is how to live life. And please, if you've not lived life like this way, and who has, Jesus is valiant. He is strong, courageous, competent, and he is trustworthy. Trust in him. Ask him to forgive you and to take over. He wants to bring peace and order into your life. Don't rebel against him and try to be your own God, because you're going to mess it up. But he can make it right. Please, if you're praying that prayer and asking him to take over and to forgive you because he died on that cross and he rose again, I'll reach out to us. Get baptized. Follow him. Go all in. Lord, as we close now and hear these songs, this is part of the prayer too. Would you make a commitment to the Lord? Say, okay, Father, I'm going to try to read. I encourage you to read Proverbs 31 every day this next week. And maybe once a week for 6 weeks. You know, that's what helps become a pattern or a habit, just so it starts to sink in, see what God's going to do. Would you make that commitment? If you would, just raise your hand and say, yeah, Pastor Ken, I'm not, you know, I'll try to read that this week. Amen. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen. And then the second thing I want to challenge you with, will you this week promise to ask your husband or your wife, and maybe you don't even need to ask, just start doing it. What's one thing, just one thing, guys, just one thing I can do to value you? What's one thing maybe it's I need to stop doing, or one thing I need to start doing? Would you be willing to ask your spouse that? Would you, again, raise your hand, say, yeah, I'm in. Hallelujah, bless you, bless you, bless you. Woo, it's so great when you see husband and wife doing it together. Yes,
Amen. Bless you guys.
Oh, Lord, give us godly, kingly homes. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And stand up, worship our God. Jeff and Veronica, people of valor.